Good evening. We'd like to call to order the April 11th City of Simpsonville Planning Commission meeting. Derby, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Giordano.
Present.
Commissioner Gould.
Present.
Commissioner Johnson. Commissioner Brazier.
Present.
Commissioner Whittle.
Present.
Commissioner Shannon.
Present.
And Chairperson Gillespie.
Present. Will, please join us in saying pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, welcome this evening. We've got a full agenda here. Want to just give you a little explanation of how the proceedings will go. With each agenda item, we will hear from staff, we will hear from the applicant and or the applicant's representative. And there'll be a public comment section as well. And we look forward to hearing from them. I'd like to just mention a couple of things along the lines of the public comments as well. When you come up and speak at the podium, we ask that you will please give us your name and complete address for the record. And along those lines, the public comments will be limited to the application that we're discussing at that time. So please limit your comments to that. For the public comment section, each speaker, we will limit that to 3 minutes. And we go over time, you just try to keep things moving along. And just to point out also at that time, with your public comments, that's an opportunity for you to be heard. And just remember, we're here to listen and to hear your comments, your observations, and your concerns, possibly your support for the agenda item. It's not a question and answer session, but as the discussions proceed after your comments, we will do our level best through the discussions that happen with staff and amongst commissioners to address those questions and concerns. With that being said, there is one item that has been removed this evening, and so I'll go ahead and let you know about that. The Hips Road annexation has been withdrawn. It may be resubmitted at some time in the future, so if you were here for that particular item, if you wish to leave, feel free. If you wish to stay, we're glad to have you. But that item has been removed. One additional thing that we're facing this evening, the little housekeeping, is our vice chair is absent. And one of the agenda items, I will be recusing myself. So our first order of business is going to be to nominate a replacement vice chair this evening. And at this time, I'll entertain motions for that nomination.
I nominate Edward Shears, the vice chairman of the Planning Commission.
Okay, and do we have a second? We have a nomination, a second. Any other nominations? With that, we'll put it to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
And
I'm aye.
It is unanimous. First order of business will be approval of the minutes. I trust that all the commissioners had an opportunity to review the minutes from the last meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Chair, I make a motion to be the chief of the information of the minutes.
Mr. Shannon has made a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. The first item on new business this evening. John, Mr. Derby, excuse me, would you please introduce that for us?
Yes, sir. Commissioner, you received in my meeting, in your meeting packet, my staff report for this item. This is Z-2024-03. This is a rezoning request on West Georgia Road. On your screen is the intersection of East Standing Springs and West Georgia Road. Christian Brothers is right next to Sphinx. This site is just a little over 5.2 acres. It's currently zoned business general. Tonight, the applicant is looking to have this rezoned to innovative development. They're looking to do a mixed use concept here of store facility and retail. This is their concept plan. Your statement of intent was provided in the meeting packet, kind of detailed the layout, the usage, setbacks, the materials they're going to use on that, as well as the innovation parts of having Amazon facility, charging station, and extending sewer to this location. So.
Okay. All right. At this time, I'll ask the commissioners have the ex parte communication report or conflict that they'd like to tell us about this time. Okay. Nobody else does. So this is an item where I will refuse myself. I have an ownership property and adjacent property. And so at this time, I'll turn this application over to Vice Chair Brady.
Give me a moment, I'll remove myself. Thank you, sir. Please. Mr. Would you please state your name and address and so forth?
Mr. Chairman, I'm River Stillwell. I live at 210 West Earl Street in Greenville. And that's my practice law there. I do a lot of zoning and planning law. This is my third hearing this week, so it's a busy season for it. But I hope just me being here is not some indication this should be controversial. I hope it's not. This is already a business district. The rezoning to innovative district is to accommodate a mix of commercial at the front. There's 7 commercial retail stalls. And then there's climate-controlled storage in the tall building, the 3-story. And then there's card access storage in the back. And you see this whole corridor down here on West Georgia Road is commercial. And like I said, it's already zoned business. You got the Sphinx and the Christian Brothers there. Then if you go past us when it's not business, I think it's the church that owns that house. So essentially, this is kind of like the last piece of business there before there's probably a buffer after that. The innovative aspects are, like they said, you don't know what's necessarily going to go in those 7 stalls, but this owner holds these properties, and so they're going to manage these and lease them themselves. He's already got an Amazon center, and it's going to have charging stations there, too. I've got my engineer here, and I got an owner representative, too. If you have any questions about the details of the operation or the planning board, they could answer that, but I think you could agree from the pictures, like this is an attractive product. Every storage unit that comes online that gets used like that. This isn't on the future land use map, but like I said, it's in keeping with the character of the rest of the area. And I hope it's you'll agree. Yeah, the owner came up here looking at towers because that's the other part of his business, and he scouted around and found this himself. So he picked. They're deck up here from Mississippi, so he picked Simpsonville for this. So I hope you'd be happy to welcome him here.
Thank you, sir. Would either you gentlemen that's here add to the attorney?
Yes, thank you. My name is Kyle M. 88 Mid-South Drive, Olive Branch, Mississippi. As Mr. Rivers stated, we are an all in-house development company. So we purchase these properties, we build these properties, and we manage these properties all long-term. So we're the beginning and end user for these properties. We do all of our own leasing and management. So we take, you know, very good care of who we, you know, lease these spaces to. We do believe this is a need for commercial and storage in this area is very high with the residential volume. We also believe that, you know, one aspect is we are extending the sewer from its current location at the intersection of West Georgia and Sandy Springs Road. So to believe that, you know, any future development at this property, sewer availability will be there, you know, as we develop, or, you know, when we develop this property. But yeah, I'll be happy to answer any other further questions, engineering or planning.
Question. In reference to the setback, we know Georgia Road is a 2-lane highway, or 2-lane road. Did you guys take consideration of it turning to a 4-lane possibly, and how the setback would so that site?
We did, you know, go over that briefly, and we have had discussions with the Department of Transportation regarding that. There is enough room there that if there was a right-of-way acquisition in the future for a 4-lane, that we believe there'd be enough room there, at least as an indication, you know, given to us by the Department of Transportation.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
remarks, sir. Yeah, can I ask a couple of questions before we move on? You're talking about three-story storage facility, environmental control?
Yes, sir.
What's the total square footage for the actual leasable space?
For the commercial?
The storage.
The storage.
Climate controlled storage facility.
Yeah, the Comet is 46,000 square feet. The climate control. Okay. And then the remainder of the non-climate is about 30,000 of non-climate, 46 climate control.
So you have give or take $70,000 under roof?
Yes, sir.
Have you determined the types of storage items within the facility? Household goods?
Yes, sir. I mean, any that you would see in your normal storage facility, household goods, you know, things that people would typically keep inside an attic that they don't want in their attic, but mostly household goods.
Okay, then are there also limitations and restrictions on what can be stored in the outdoor facilities?
We do have certain limitations or, you know, kind of considerations. Obviously, nothing toxic. Nothing that's going to damage the property or damage any other, anybody else's property in the neighboring units. This is also not a 24-hour access facility, so we're not, you won't have people in all hours of the night accessing these facilities. It's going to be 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., and it's going to be staffed as well, 8 to 5. So there is, to get to the non-climate, it's a key code access, so that is only during our hours of operation. So it's not a 24-hour access facility.
Okay, the 75, give or take 70,000 square foot storage facility building, is that going to be subdivided into smaller spaces for storage purposes, or will you have a tenant that may take down 10,000 square feet?
I'm going to have been a little on that. Chad Fisher, 8888 Mid South Drive, Olive Branch, Mississippi. So inside of the larger building, it's broken into units. So if you walk in, you would walk down a corridor, and there would be similar to garage style doors that would be rolling doors as you walk down the hallway. So that building is climate controlled. Climate controlled means 50 degrees to 80 degrees. So every, you have on the first floor, you have your larger units, your 10 by 20s, 10 by 30s. Your second floor, you go to more 10 by 10s, 10 by 15s. And your third floor is more, your extra closet, your 5x5s, 5x10s. So you have less units on the ground floor, your medium-sized units on the second and your smaller units up top. For that reason, there are two elevators in the climate control facility. It is still gated and locked, so nobody can just access it. You have to have a keypad to get into the building. It is staffed. There's an office that sells boxes, tape, locks, everything you would need to move your house. We also offer a truck service. We give the tenant a free truck when they move their stuff in for 4 hours. It's really nice looking truck. We probably should have put it on the application package. But as Kyle mentioned, we manage these ourselves. We are a long-term holder. We're not looking to come build something and sell it. As he mentioned, our owner actually came here, put on the Simpsonville, saw the potential here, and wanted to be a part of the growth of the city. So that's how we ended up with the original idea of the storage. We ended up securing the second piece of property there and decided on doing retail as well. As mentioned before, we lease these ourselves. We don't just lease to anybody because we're a long-term holder here. We're looking for sandwich shops, nail salons, that type of tenant. We don't have the check cashing and the vape shops and CD stores and stuff like that. So.
And do you have on-site capability for a semi to get in there, such as a moving van?
Yes, sir.
It may take down 10 by 30.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay.
So actually, if you go to the site plan, on the
so we have our normal pedestrian access up here, so your average person, a pickup truck.
Would you mind doing it from this side, so we're in the back?
Yeah. So your normal pedestrian access is up front here from the parking lot. So if you come in a regular pickup truck, you can literally back up to the front door and enter in through the door. Of course, course, with a coded access key. There's also an awning on the side of the building for pull-up service. So you can see a truck parked there. There's, well, it's not designed on here, but there's going to be a pull-up service that an 18-wheeler could pull into and unload everything off of. So it's the same for the back. So the back area is actually designed for, it's big enough you can get a bar truck through. So if you can get a bar truck through there safely, you can get an 18-wheeler through there. These units are, so this portion of non-climate is fully gated. So it has a full perimeter wall of storage, and this perimeter is not, doesn't have a building, but it will be fenced. Oh, sorry.
Oh. Yes.
Our detention pond's here, but our gate access will be up front. So again, secure facility and secure facility.
Okay, the management of this facility, or your on-site manager, are there theoretically for 8 hours a day?
So they're there from 9 to 6, okay. So staff 9 to 6.
And they also would be available for emergency situations?
Yes, sir. We'll hire a team locally to manage the individuals locally, but we'll actually service it out of our Olive Branch, Mississippi location.
And I take it you also have security cameras and lighting?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So all the lighting, especially for back, all the inside-facing lighting, there's nothing that's going to impose on any neighbors. There is full security cameras out here, and full security cameras on the entrances and in the hallways of the climate control facility. Those are monitored around the clock. We have security companies and fire protection as well. The big building is sprinklered, so it obviously has to be. The non-climate is not sprinklered, but it is all under security. That's right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair. The Amazon component, is that one taking one retail spaces or multiple? Or?
So that's actually in the office of the storage. So it's a new concept we're working with. We are actually signed up for a location back home. It's pretty much Amazon boxes. There's no profit off of it. It's just a convenience thing. People can have stuff shipped to an Amazon box, and you can simply drop your, you got to return some Amazon, you put it in the box, and you punch in a code, and it's automatically out the door. So.
Okay. So like Amazon fulfillment?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, one question for me. How far down the road are you with the SCDOT impact analysis with the traffic flow?
So, yeah, we've been talking with DOT soon after we met with Don, because we know they are doing improvements at that intersection. And given that these aren't very high traffic generators, especially storage, that's a very low traffic generator. Obviously, commercial is going to be traffic, generate more traffic. But they don't see any, I guess, issues with this sort of volume or this development with their improvements that are coming to that intersection or now.
Okay, I apologize to be more specific. Is like ingress and egress with traffic light, do they think that'll be a problem with I don't think there's a light. There's not a light right there at that.
No, there's not a light there, and it's put our ingress and egress is pushed also, pretty far up. So it's on the far north or north end of that property. So it's we're trying to get it as far as away from the intersection as we possibly could. Push that building all the way to the north.
Great, thank you, sir.
Anything else?
Just one other real quick question is, are you anticipating, is the Department of Transportation anticipating a left-hand turn lane?
Yes, sir, right now. And that may go to a right-in, right-out. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking with them about. But as of right now, we're proposing a full access 36-foot drop. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Now we'll open the hearing up to public input. If anyone has any remarks pro or con, please approach the podium. If not, Derby, will you give us your closing remarks, please?
Yes, sir. I guess that's when we needed that cricket sound to chime in, but. We do see this as kind of a benefit in that area. We do not have that use on this side of the city.
They will be held to what SCDOT requires them as far as the entrance, any improvements, that area, so that will be checked for the traffic portion. Just a little side note, going back to here, basically the Christian Brothers, they were on septics. Everything from this point here all the way to the food line is kind of like what we call a dead zone. There's no sewer in that area. That's why that place has been basically unoccupied, unbuildable, unusable. So we do see that as a benefit that they are willing to bring the sewer from a very far location at that intersection to their site and extending it to the property line to benefit future growth. So that's something we definitely see as a benefit. So from a staff perspective, we're supportive of this, and we do ask that it be recommended to council as an approval for rezoning of Z-2024-03.
Thank you, sir. I'll entertain a motion.
Chan, is the fire department taking a look at this? I mean, there's not a lot of three-story buildings in Simpsonville.
Yes, sir, they have.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion concerning this application, please.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommends an approval of the rezoning set forth in Ordinance Z-2024-03.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other remarks from the Council Commission before we... All right, if there's no other remarks, all in favor of the motion, Ordinance 2Z-2024-03, please say aye.
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 Y'all vote aye.
Yes.
We have any opposed, please say no. All right, the motion carries, 2-2024-03. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know where you're going. I'm going to send my cast to try to find you. Oh, maybe you got out of the job and left. We approve that. All right, so we've done two address. Ready for the next one then. Mr. Durbin, please introduce that for us, please.
Yes, sir. Next item is phase two for the Burnett Central ID. That's right next door to us. Phase one was the upfit of the current building and the outside kind of venue area. What they are looking to do for phase two is the future portion on the corner of Hedge and Curtis. Currently, it used to be a house here. Mr. Brazier, you probably remember this old kind of haunted looking house used to be here, but now it's basically an overflow parking for the current portion of Burnett Central. So that is their concept plan that got approved by council, showing this as future commercial. And this is what they're proposing tonight. This is a two-story ground up construction of a retail office facility in the northeast corner. They're going to provide more parking that's already out there now on approved surface. So this did come to the city for review. They were given a technical review letter with some comments back to kind of minor comments that we don't have an issue with. But this is the building that's going to kind of mimic the current Burnett Central, but a little more updated appeal. That's it.
Okay. We have a representative here to tell us more about the project.
Yes. Chris Price, Blue Larson Design, 718 Longsville Road, Greenville. Mr. Chair, Commissioner, represent Burnett Central on this project. They felt it was the time to officially do the parking out here and get some hard surface out there and get everything up to what they need. They host a lot of events, a lot for the city, and feel like that now's the time to get this up to speed. As part of it, they definitely want want to have this available through this retail slash office building at 7,300 feet. And also they would like to improve the parking in the edge on Head Street just to do some parallel parking as well as part of this this phase.
So does the parking extend all the way down to the full extent of the red property on Hedge?
It extends almost all the way to the end, except at the very end there'll be some stormwater area down there, control stormwater.
There wasn't no laundry building down there. I don't know if we're still there or not. Anyway, that'd be good if we could get all of it. Thanks, sir.
Any other questions?
Yes. From a high level, without getting down into the math, how'd you calculate the density of the parking spaces there with multiple types of retail, restaurant, et cetera?
Yeah, we used we didn't include restaurants necessarily for this new building. They feel like they've got a pretty good mix of restaurants and those kind of uses in the existing Burdett Central building, and then obviously the pizza place. So they felt like that was enough, but we do have a mix of office and retail, you know, in there, and the 50 spaces is right around that number for the addition. As you know, this is also in the central area of downtown, and so people will be coming around also from parking on public areas, so taking advantage of that area, because Head Street has a pretty wide right-of-way, taking advantage of that, adding some official parking there. I'm sure people can park in there at every event they've had, but yeah, adding that and getting those approximately about 62 spaces or 61 extra spaces paved, we feel like would be a good benefit. It'll serve this site.
So along those same lines, as part of this is new streetscape, Curtis, Hedge, gutter, sidewalk, parallel parking, etc. You guys are taking that on at your own expense to
that's correct.
That's not a joint city?
Not that I'm aware of. I do know the owners have had discussions with the city in the past. I just don't know. I'm not sure if that's anything official.
I'm not trying to dig down. I just mean the last project, the sewer was a huge benefit to the city. And then with this, you guys taking that on yourselves to improve that.
That is the intent. Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
Complementing the city.
So. Yes, sir.
And last question I had was the overhead lines along Curtis Street. Is that an expense that you guys are taking on yourselves also, or are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of any conflict with what we're proposing.
I mean, are you paying for that to bury those lines, or
when they did the phase one of the project, they brought power in underground to the back of the site, and that's where this building will also be served.
Okay. Oh, so it's already
been there.
It's just re-highlighted. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Just want you to know.
So the purple, would look like umbrellas. What exactly are those?
Just trees.
Just trees. Okay, so is that going to be, is there going to be sidewalk around it?
There will.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think right now we're representing about an 8-foot sidewalk.
Okay.
Through there.
One more quick question. Is will the egress on Curtis remain, or will that be done away with?
That will remain.
You have one right behind the building on Hedge.
And we have just the one that's existing now on Hedge will remain. Yep.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you, sir. We may have to call you back.
Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thank you. So at this time, we would open the floor for public comments. Is anyone here who would like to address this matter before the commission? Okay, that being said, Mr. Derby, did you have any public comments of that nature that you would tell us?
I'll just kind of rehash the parking. This used to be business urban before it was rezoned to ID. Business urban does not have a parking requirement at all. So people can basically just have a business and not required to have parking. Basically, it's left to on-street parking and city parking, which we don't have much of, so that's why they're taking it on their self to expand their site. I think the original intent was where the spaces are being proposed. That was supposed to be talked about townhomes. That got kind of scratched because of the fact how successful business, how successful Brest Central has been. They need all the parking they can get. So, again, the plan was reviewed by all three departments, minor comments sent back to them. So we do ask for a conditional approval based on the engineer addressing any comments that we have provided.
Any questions for Mr. Derby from the commission?
Yeah, I got one question. Will the sidewalks, will they be sidewalks installed all the way down Hedge on that same side of the road further on past this development?
It should be in our inventory of projects to do in the city. We are doing one currently in a spot that's missing on Hedge at the very end towards Fernwood right now. So as you work your way up, some of those have kind of deteriorated. They're on the opposite side. You can see on that screen there, there are on the other side, but this side, it kind of stops right where that sewing shop is
right
on that side.
Okay. So.
Anything else? Okay. That being the case, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve SP 2024-03, the Brent Central Avenue project. Based on conditions identified by Jan.
I have a motion. Mr. Will, do we have a second?
Present. Yes, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Shin has seconded the motion. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I'm happy that we're seeing this becoming a little bit more pedestrian friendly, because Head Street, like John was mentioning, the sidewalks are not great, and I feel like, you know, it's kind of a little haphazard as it is right now, and I think it's going to be a lot cleaner now.
Very good. Okay. If that covers it, then at this time we'll entertain a vote. All in favor of passing the motion as stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All opposed? It's unanimous. That brings us up. Moving right along to the next one, Mr. Derby.
Commissioners, this will be our second master site plan review. This is for the Cottage Green. You might remember this came through in December as a major change through the Merrydale Village ID. Well, they are ready to submit for site plan. This as well went through all three departments for review. This is their concept plan. The out parcels along the Harrison Bridge Road are still being proposed as, you know, future developments. What phase one will be the actual the multifamily individual units that you see on your screen. Looking at 294 multifamily units, a little at 37 acres. So the comments that were given back to them, again, they were kind of minor landscaping, sidewalks, things like that, a couple of notes on the site plan, nothing too extravagant. So.
Okay, at this time we'll ask, do the commissioners have any ex parte communication with the board or any conflict before we move forward? And in case we have a representative here this evening, would you like to tell us a little bit more about it? Or we have some questions for you. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been since December. I'm Frank Warren with HSS Americana, and I live at 2305 Chesterfield Avenue in Charlotte. So we are working through our plan. Like John said, we have submitted the master plan. We were approved for 320 units. Just because of the site and the unit mix, we had pulled back to 294 total units on the site. The commercial, like John says, is still the same. We're not pitching that tonight. That will be through a separate master plan submittal, so you'll see the four parcels there. We still have adequate parking. I believe it's 45 spaces, whatever it is, 1.85 per. We have our engineers here, we've seen them on my side. So they've done the math on the trees. I think that was something we didn't know in December. And we have more than enough trees for credits for the one. relocate a portion of the sewer easement as you come up towards the commercial and Harrison Bridge Road. I don't really have any prepared comments other than that.
That's very good.
Any questions?
Can we have some questions?
Yes, I have. I do the SCDOT drum tonight.
Yeah.
But I remember last time we spoke in December, SCDOT was looking at upgrades to the Fairview Harrison Bridge intersection.
Right. So that's correct. Go ahead.
And then the second piece to it was, is your right turn, looking at extending it on those front, out parcels, et cetera. Just a refresh.
Sure.
If you have any new data, please, sir.
Yeah. So for our what we're calling our main entrance, which is there you go. Thank you. So we do have to do the 100-foot taper for that entrance, the right turn, and of course that's a right turn, a right in, right out only, and then the left turn has to come from Merrydale Village, Merrydale Farm, sorry, from their entrance. But they told us that that's going to be a no left turn until we put in signal. So, and they said that that really doesn't trigger till the commercial, but that doesn't do us any good. So we are going to be putting in that traffic light.
That's been working
as part of ours. Yeah. So, however, the improvement at Fairview, that is still incumbent upon the commercial when it gets.
Oh, that's a trigger point.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So that's when the extra turn lane and the change in the signalization for that corner.
I misunderstood that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Good. But I will tell you, we've got interest in this commercial, and it's not our goal to land bank that. When that gets developed, that will be a condition. And the folks that we have spoken to, are they understand that. That will have to be done.
Question.
Sir?
Did I understand correctly, by installing the stoplight to prohibit that cement median like they have over at CVS, is that what you said, or did I hear something?
It is, as it is now, there's a dedicated turn lane coming eastbound. And then there's a right turn lane coming westbound. So the thought is that that's adequate for the turning. What we'll be adding is the signalization, the actual signal to control this.
So that should prohibit.
They haven't said anything to us about needing a median.
I'm pretty happy with that here lately. So.
Yeah, with medians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I heard what I didn't hear, I think.
Further questions for Mr. Warren or the engineers for that? Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate everything there. At this time, we'll open the floor for public comments. Is there anyone here who's here to speak? Thank you, sir. Will you state your name, please address?
Sure. Harrison Musselwhite. I live at 119 Two Gate Lane, Martins Grove Subdivision, which is very close to this project. Also, to let you all know, I'm not just representing myself, I'm the executive committee member for Precinct 6 of the Greenville County Republican Party. I'm also the chairman of the Greenville County GOP Legislative Committee. I would recommend to all of you to vote no on this project, because this will add, according to what he says, I'm gonna do simple math, 1.85 cars per unit, basically 300 units, so it's going to add another 600 cars to this very dangerous intersection at Harrison Bridge Road and Fairview Road, which I travel and many of the people in this room travel every day. This could create a death trap, and we don't want any unnecessary deaths. We don't want any more unnecessary traffic accidents in that area. I did ask our city council members if construction had started on this project. They said no. So on behalf of we the people of Precinct 6 and Simpsonville, I'm asking you to vote no tonight on this project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name's Angie Fisher, and I live at 207 East and Court in Simpsonville, which is very, very close in Bergmont subdivision. You guys are already locking me into my neighborhood at being able to get out in the mornings, and you're fixing to add more traffic, which affects my quality of life as well as my neighbors, and it affects the safety in the area. So I concur that you need to vote no. Until something else can be done, this is irresponsible development of the area. I'm also an EC of my precinct, which I represent 2,500 people, and most of the people I talk to feel the same way. I already have an issue with the traffic there at the, I just will say the old folks' home, I don't know what it's called exactly, the assisted living area there, because where that entrance is, there's a very low dip down, and there's no guardrail to protect those people that live there now. And there's accidents everywhere. And nobody seems to care. But you have changed my life in the past year and a half, and I don't appreciate it, and neither do my neighbors or precinct members. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Rod Folk. I'm at 18 Cloverfield Drive in Simpsonville at the cottages at the Harrison Bridge, right across from where this will be developed. I just want to remind you that when the City Council approved the cottage green back in December, they did so because the developer agreed to install a traffic signal and make lane improvements at the Harrison Bridge Fairview intersection during the residential phase of the project, not the commercial. Because that's when all the traffic comes up, not the commercial. It was at the residential, and they agreed to pay for it then. Don't let them back down on that. That was the deciding thing that made the mayor and at least two other people approve this project. Hold them accountable to that. I didn't see anything in the presentation or about that than what he said, and I disagree with what he did say. If it is approved, I would like to see sidewalks in front of it, even though it could be a sidewalk to nowhere, but that land next to it, a target, is eventually going to get developed. And if they could make a sidewalk there and make it bicycle friendly and maybe a golf cart, it would be compatible with the kind of people that they're trying to sell those residences to. Another point is that when they put plants and shrubs next to the exit, it needs to be far enough away so that the traffic, the cars, can see to the left in particular. Too often I see too many places put the shrubbery way up against the road. It looks great for a while, but right immediately you have to put the front of the car into the traffic to be able to see. So make sure it's set back. And that's just a general statement on everything. Culvers that was recently done is a great example of how not to do it. They're going to have to chop those trees down eventually. And my last comment is that they did plan on Harrison Bridge becoming five lanes sometime in the future, just like the rest of Harrison Bridge is. It's going to happen. It's going to have to happen sometime. So we need to make sure that when the inland domain comes by, it's not going to destroy the property that's there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have anyone else for public comment session on this application? Okay. That being said, Mr. Derby, what does the staff have to say?
I just want to remind the commission that the role tonight to review this is to make sure it meets what was approved by council. That's the only point of having this meeting, is to make sure more checks and balance that nothing has changed from what got approved from council. What they are presenting mimics the concept plan and statement of intent that got approved in December. Like I stated earlier, the traffic impact study was performed by them. It was asked for them to have this constructed during phase two, which is a commercial portion. What they have presented to us, they go through fire, public works, and planning with minor comments back. So we feel confident they'll be able to make those modifications. So we do ask for a conditional approval based off the engineers addressing our comments.
Very good. Any questions from the commission, Mr. Derby?
Yes, I have a couple. Mr. Derby, I'm not aware, if you can kind of maybe help me, was did the city council agree to asking the developer to have a traffic light in there when they approved this?
The traffic engineer explained the condition of the road and what the impact would be from this development with or without any improvements. Their recommendation was a traffic light to be installed at Marydale for the commercial portion. They did have some type of notation of, I believe it was a sign they asked them to put, for y'all to put up, says no right, no left turns, if I'm correct. And they kind of made that wouldn't be appropriate or feasible to help out their tenants. So instead of waiting around for the commercial portion to come in, they did offer to do the traffic light during the residential portion. But it was not required by SCDOT. So that would be SCDOT's call when those things are installed. Because when you have a project like this, if applicant wants a traffic light, they just can't put one in. It's SCDOT's call to say what warrants a traffic light. Those numbers have to meet, even though they want to improve that. That will improve that intersection for those people to exit. The Fairview Road and Harrison Bridge, I think it was two turn lanes improvement, that is also a phase two commercial portion requirement.
So I just want to restate that we are here on behalf, we're all Simpsonville City residents, so we're here on behalf of Simpsonville City. So I need to ask again, did the city council require the developer to put a light in, yes or no?
No, they did not, sorry. SCDOT did.
When the commercial trigger.
Correct, yes, sorry.
So I just want to make sure we're here working on behalf of the citizens that just came up and expressed themselves. We're working within the rules and regulations established by the city council, and are unable, you know, we can't take it any further. Also, when as far as the turn in and out with the right hand, right in, right out, will the developer be required to comply with the city development to make sure, like, for example, site triangles and corners, et cetera, will they be required to evaluate that with the shrubbery they put in?
Absolutely. When they apply for their encroachment permit, they will have to follow the SCDOT standards on site triangle. They'll have that drawn on the plan showing this is an area you cannot install signage, shrubbery, things like that for safety reasons.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Judon.
Yeah, okay. Piggybacking on a couple. So the traffic light would be at Marydale Farm Drive, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then the part of phase two is adding a second turn lane, left-hand turn lane from Harrison Bridge onto Fairview, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, if not, at this time we'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I move that the Planning Commission conditionally approve the site plan for Cottage Green ID Phase 1, SP 200-2404, on the condition that the applicant addresses any technical and review comments provided by staff.
Very good. Do we have a second?
Second.
Whittle has second. Is there any further discussion and comments before we move forward? Anything, brother? Okay, this time we'll call for the vote. All in favor of conditional approval of the site plan for Cottage Green, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And all opposed, say nay.
Aye.
That's one nay. And that passes. Yep. And that includes us with the next to the last item on the agenda, Mr. Chairman. Let's introduce that before us.
Commissioners, this is one of our oldest, still moving developments in the city. This development came in the early, mid 2000s, Cottage Harrison Park. development. The alley parcels along Harrisbridge Road are commercial. They have been slated that way since the beginning. What the applicant tonight is looking for is that northeast corner on Hips and Harrisbridge Road. This is the approved concept plan that went through council back in 2008. I think the engineer at the Burdett Central was the one that did this one, whole neighborhood. But the out parcels along the front have a stipulation for the usage, the height, as well as the size of the building. What they're looking to do, go to their site plan as presented, is a early learning center as well as a medical facility here at this location. Basically, this would be coming for you as a master site plan. But unfortunately, the applicant, the prototype they use exceeds what the statement of intent allows, which is 15,000 square feet for one single building. And the prototype they use is just north of that. So they are looking to do a major change to the statement of intent, which will change the verbiage you see on the screen to allow it not to exceed 16,000. So the use that they're permitted, that they're asking, is in line with the statement of intent, so nothing too extravagant. It's just the square footage of the building. So I'll go back to their proposed site plan if you want to stay at their proposed hearing. So.
Okay, at this time, have any other parts of communication or conflict in the meeting?
No.
Doubts about it. Thank you very much. And so, we have a representative here?
Even.
Yes, sir.
I'm Barry Starling. I'm with CV Consulting, and I'm representing the developers for this project. The school he referred to is the Goddard School. The operators have two other schools here in the upstate, one in the Five Forks community, and one we just opened a year ago over on Woodruff Road, right near Hollingsworth. The school site, school building is 15,600 square feet. The limitation is 15,000 square feet. We have larger classrooms than are mandated by DHEC. We have wider hallways. We just based on the child to teacher ratio and everything else, we just have larger classrooms, and this is a mirror of a prototype building that we built over at Woodruff Road. Our heights, we are two stories, we're all single story. We meet all the other requirements of the covenants. It's the only change we're asking for is that 600 square foot.
Mr. Starling, I didn't want to interrupt you, but for the record, would you please state your address?
Barry Starling at 333 Kimbrell Road, Tabers.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. Anything further that you want to tell us about? You summed it up pretty well, I think.
Yeah. Our neighbor, it will be a pediatric, a Parkside Pediatrics office. And no plans yet for the corner parcel.
Okay. Any questions from Mr. Strong? Yes, Mr. Strong.
Yes, sir. Just a question. Why do you have larger classrooms?
It's part of our what we are. Our spaces are bigger. A lot of preschools you'll see they squeeze as many kids in the tightest space that DHEC will allow, which is typically 35 square feet per child. We're much larger than that. Our teacher ratios are much heavier teacher to child ratio than typically required by DHEC. It's just our hallways are wider than they have to be. I invite you to come visit our school at 533 Woodruff Road. It's a mirror of this. This is a mirror of that site. I want to go to school there. I'm much too old.
What's your child capacity?
I think the capacity is around 268, based on the DHEC guidelines. But our max will probably be 240, 250, and that's a stated max. Our functional max is actually on a day in, day out basis is actually less than that. We have a lot of half days or partial days. Yeah. And our traffic flow is very much spread out throughout the day. We have excess parking, right down here. I think we're 20 spaces over between the medical and the
and the preschool.
I'm sorry, I probably missed your hours of operation.
Typically 6:30 to 6, 6:30 a.m. to 6.
Anyone else?
Yeah, what are your, what do you project your highest, you know, you said you spread the traffic over the day, but when do you expect your peak traffic points to be, sir?
Typically around 6:45 in the morning till 9, and 4:30 to 6. But what we found is that which is typically pick up, drop off, pick up times. We don't have a drive through drop off. Our parents have to come into the school. They have to bring their child in, both, and they also have to come into the school to pick up their child. We're very high security conscious. So as it works out, it really spread out pretty evenly throughout the morning and afternoon. We have a lot of folks that like I said, have 4 or 6 hour type stays as opposed to 4 8 hour day.
What would you, now I'm sure this is more for guests than it would be a statement, but carpooling, how prevalent is that in a school like this?
Our school of Five Forks, it's much more common because there's so many more rooftops within a certain radius of that school. That school's been in operation for 17 years. The one on Woodruff is a little less so because it's more of it's an on-the-way school. A lot of traffic is going from more distant places on the way to somewhere else. If that makes sense. This will be probably a little bit more carpooling, probably, but we found that at the new school, we do very little pickups at elementary schools or after school or that kind of thing. We're pretty full from infant to 5-year-old.
Have you established a time schedule for when you'd like to get started and completed?
Day before yesterday. we hope to close on the land the second week of May. We're ready to go. We are, as is Parkside Pediatrics. We're fully planned and ready. We hope to open. If that's the case, we would hope to open the school sometime in January, February, really weather permitting. April or May. We've got another school that we're building over off of Pelham Road that we're pointing towards February.
Last question for me. As you know, Barry, that's a high traffic area also.
Yes.
And so as far as the DOT type of studies, have you guys had that even?
Yeah, our traffic study is actually being sent for my review this evening. Actually, I think I just got it while I've been sitting here. DOT has already reviewed our traffic plan. We actually voluntarily put in a ride-in, ride-out turn lane. We could have argued for a full access, but we did not. As you'll see, we've got access both off Pitt Road,
yes,
and off of Harrison Bridge. We're ride-in, ride-out only off of Harrison Bridge. Also, you see the roadway that's going over to the primary entrance into the Harris Park development. So we've really got 3 points of egress egress, which will help to diffuse the traffic.
Have you considered sidewalks? I did say one question, but I'm sorry. Have you considered sidewalks also?
We have not. It's a pretty strong landscape setback, 45 feet total, 20 and 25. And we don't envision there being really any sidewalk need, if you will, specific to either our development or Parkside Pediatrics.
The reason I ask that question, on the other side, there are some condos on the other side of the street also.
Yeah, on the other side of Hips Road. On Hips, that's correct.
Yes.
Yes. We would think that the folks that would be coming from these condos that are over here would be coming, if they were to be pedestrian as opposed to auto, they would come off this road here as opposed to being up towards Harrison Bridge. We wouldn't advise anybody to be walking on Harrison Bridge.
And what's the age group, age limit that you're in the school?
Infants up to 5 years old, kindergarten.
Thank you.
One other question. Do you know if there's been any study at all percent of traffic light at Hills Road?
We're not aware of it, but we would welcome it, but...
It's pretty busy already.
It is. We understand there's some dispute argument about who controls Hibbs Road, whether it's the city or county, or we're trying to not get into that fray.
I just wondered, I travel up road a good bit, so I'll just...
Good information. Anyone else?
Yes. So, you, sir, you just received the traffic study before it's been sent forward. Reaching back to our previous project, the light that's been put at Maryhill Farms Road, is that included in that? I don't know how the SC and DOT worked. Since we have multiple projects right there in that central location, is this something, can SC, I don't know if it, actually, I apologize, this might be for Mr. Derby. Will SCDOT overlay all these at the same time in order to evaluate that traffic? And since they're not done, there's not dirt being dug up yet, will they still lean forward and do all,
they'll
combine this analysis?
Correct. They just have fresh numbers from the last study done for the December Maryhill, so we'll have those numbers to compare to the impact this will do on that road as well. So they'll use that number, those counts to kind of see. Obviously, what he's stating is that right in, right out is sufficient to serve this area. So,
okay. And when I'm specifically getting that, I drop my kid off at Hillcrest Middle School every morning, but they don't have the same business model you guys have. There's a surge of, let's just say, 15 cars at a clip. It appears to me, please expand upon this, sir, it's not going to be 15 in a clip because they have to go inside, they have to drop the security, et cetera. So it'll be more of a dribble versus drip, whatever you want to call it, versus 15 car surge at a time.
That's exactly right. And that's also part of the reason why we have excess parking. You think that a lot of parents would not like the, I can't just pull through the border to drop off my child. It's really part of our whole thing is the parent must come inside through the security, adult security, and then go to the classroom and speak to the teacher to pick up their child. And the reason for all that is so that the teacher could say, little Johnny was whatever today. And also when they drop off in the morning, the parent can say to the teacher specifically, that child's teacher, what his situation might be for that morning. That takes a little bit extra time, but it really does spread out the traffic, so to speak. They have to park and come inside.
And you got a different age group you're dealing with than middle and high school, too. He's far more...
And I just mean there's 15 cars served.
I know what you're talking
about.
I've been part of that for 50 years.
And I'm gonna say that is part of the reason why we're taking the other point over to Harrison Park, Harrison Oaks, the entrance off of Harrison Bridge Road, so that we've really got three different receivers for diffusing traffic.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
We're good.
One more question. Traffic in, would that be a runway in and then the exit on the sides or toward Hibbs, or is that just open?
No, Hibbs would be full access.
Right. Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Strong.
Thank you.
And we'll open the floor for public comment. If we can see one, yes, sir. Please introduce yourself, give us your full address, please.
Thank you. My name is Harry Fisher. I live at 207 Easton Court, Simpsonville. I'm actually in the Verdon subdivision. So I understand, I've lived in this area about 15 years. I understand city's ambition to grow, to be a go-to destination place for everybody coming to the upstate. I get that. I understand it. There's a lot of buildings going up. Warehouses in this area, a lot of housing, multi-housing, where you have an apartment, you have a condo, you don't have one or two vehicles these days for the house, you may have three or four. As we look around this area, it's no surprise, we're not building streets in this area. I hear about the Department of Transportation. I don't remember the last time a street was laid in to Simpsonville. I don't. I'm sure somebody can lay, get some information out. At what point does the city council look and go, guess what, guys? We're just building way too much, and we don't have the capability to address the amount of what our growing population is. There comes a point we're going to choke our city. It's an inconvenience. I live in Vermont. Let's not kid ourselves. We come down Hips Road. We come home at 4 and 5 o'clock. It's not a picnic. I'm stating the obvious here. At what point do you just sit back and say, hey, we'd love to grow, but we don't have the streets, or maybe where can we put secondary roads? I'd like an answer as to what the thought process is with regard to dropping in some new streets, and maybe then we can think about bringing in some new type of businesses. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm John White with 100 Whipple Tree Drive. That's in Simpsonville. Actually, right down in Neely Farm, so it's right on Harrison Ridge Road. I as well have lived here for about 16 years, and what I'm seeing is, and I don't know if it's DOT or City Council or who, but it seems like the fixes that I'm hearing are turn lanes, and it's just not adequate. Turn lanes are fine for about 3 cars. And when you back up, and you see this on Harrison Ridge Road all the time if you drive it, when it backs up that far, then there's no way to get around, and you have backups for nearly back to Fairview at times. I also have a son that I've taken to school at the 0 to 5 range, and I like your business model, but what I've noticed, even when we take them in, if there are a lot of parents coming at one time, you do have backup out on the road, unless you have a lot of parking space there. And what I'm seeing is that, you know, even though we're not having over 200 cars come at one time, it seems like the parking spaces versus the cars that are coming or could come at one time is not really adding up. I'm doing my math right here. So I think that while the school may be a good idea, I just don't see that just putting turn lanes in for the cottages the school or whatever is really not doing justice to that street. And I think that whatever numbers that DOT uses is probably a little bit too high if they're looking at how many cars need to be on a road before you widen. The 4-lane on the other side of Harrison Ridge Road, the traffic there is much better, but you see a ton of accidents even on that side, even though it's the 4-lane with a middle. And they've had to make alterations there so that people coming from opposite sides, I see people nearly getting hit on that side. Now it's even worse on the 2-lane. So I think the last gentleman was right. I think we're choking off that whole entire part of Harrison Ridge. And I would just encourage you to hold off until DOT can actually support, do something to support the population that we already have in there, which is a bit much. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Will, please introduce yourself again.
Angie Fisher, 207 Easton Court in Vermont.
Thank you.
Again, you're in my area. I'm not happy about it, but this time I'm not happy because you're putting kids in danger. I was a former teacher. I know all about drop-off and pick-up at private school and public schools. I understand how that works. And even though it might be spread out throughout the day and they might have to take their own children in, you're not changing that there's more traffic and lesser ways to get there. That's a problem. And you're putting kids at risk. The traffic incidents and accidents have increased tremendously where Hips and Harrison Bridge connect. And I can only imagine what's going to happen when you bring more traffic to the area. And everything that I'm hearing tonight is bringing traffic to where I live. And there's nothing changing with the roads. So again, I'm not happy. I represent a lot of people, and we have the ability to make a lot of changes here if we need to.
Very good. Thank you.
My name is Rod Folk. I'm at 18 Cloverfield Drive. I haven't moved since I was last talking to you.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's hard to move this late.
So I like the idea of the school being there. Something's going to be developed on that piece of land. It's already been sold, right? You probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for the fact that the building was a little bit too big for what it was zoned for. You could have just gone ahead and done it. Also like the idea that a medical thing is going to be there. All I think I heard you say it was for pediatrics. That's not going to help me. I'm a little beyond that, but we need that. We need that in that area. But regardless of that, that part of Harrison Bridge is still basically two lane. It ought to be three lane, the middle lane as a turn lane all the way to Hips, because people are going to play hell trying to get out of that school, even turning right or coming up by Harrison Oaks and trying to turn left. You've got to wait several minutes before you could find a gap. And that 100 foot egress of the middle turn lane, it just isn't good enough. I do that frequently. I avoid Fairview now because it's known as Woodruff Junior. Yep. So when you turn left out of Harrison Oaks, that middle lane just isn't big enough. This would work if you did that, and you're going to have a hard time turning left getting on the Hips Road. It's just a fact. It's just such a heavy road all day long. Putting people onto the turning right on the Hips and then getting at the intersection, it's just going to clog it up even more. I'm sorry, it just is. They need a stop signal or something there. And yes, the DOT knows about that. They have it on their agenda. I know that because I asked them that. Sidewalks are needed on that. There's sidewalks at the condos there on one side of that. We need sidewalks all the way up Harrison Bridge beyond this development that you're proposing on the other side of the Apple Academy or whatever that's called, so that people can walk to Target and walk to Publix. And eventually that's going to happen. We need to stop this thing of getting into our 3,000-pound vehicles and instead getting on a bicycle or a tricycle or a golf cart to get to these shopping places. Make it walker-friendly, make it bicycle-friendly. You've got a chance to do that. But if you keep letting people not put it in, it'll just never happen. And the traffic studies that need to be done are supposed to consider all known developments in that area. We know that something's going to happen at 109 and 113 Hips. It was not on today's agenda, but it was put on there and then tabled or removed. We know that's going to add another several hundred people, vehicles, whatever. So these traffic studies are supposed to look at Berrydale, look at this. I should really look at the impact of 109 and 113 Hips.
Mr. Folks?
I don't think they're doing it. Yes, sir.
We've used our 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Please just wrap it up. We appreciate your input.
That was the main part of it. Get the sidewalks there and make the traffic better. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
For the public comment session.
Okay, that being the case, then Mr. Derby, the staff, please.
I know we've been on this quite a bit about DOT. We definitely agree that that road is a very heavily traveled road. If it was three lanes, four lanes, it would definitely, we feel it would improve that, but unfortunately, we have no say-so besides attending the meetings we always do quarterly with SCDOT and kind of share with them what our concerns are. They do update us with traffic studies they're doing, future projects. Unfortunately, a lot of those get pushed back. But what we try to do and try to look at the positive of these is that by having some of these developments, they do improve the area, just like with the Cottage Green traffic light. You know, DOT wouldn't put that in, they're putting it in. The school the gentleman talked about, unfortunately, that was kind of part of the annexation request, was to make sure any improvements that were needed need to be done. And they did reach out to the SCDOT regarding that intersection up there of Hips. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why they weren't able to move forward with that. So that is a bad intersection. There's no if, and, buts about that. But we leave that up to the professionals when they have the traffic study and commercial permits to do what SCDOT sees fit. They see that something needs to be improved, they're going to put it on the developer. That's just it. Otherwise, they're not going to let them have an encroachment permit. That's just pretty simple. So this is something that's already been approved, the use here. What we're looking at, does this extra couple hundred feet have an impact that might be negative to the area? Medical right there next to it. We are losing some daycares in the city at the churches, so having more daycares does benefit the residents of the city. So staff does support this. This is in line with their statement of intent concept plan, provided the enlarging of the square footage of the building. So this does have to go to council, so we do recommend an approval of the major change, SB 2024-05.
Can I ask you to clarify something? I guess the commissioners may already understand this, but were it not for the increase of 615 square feet for this building, we would really not be here. That's the main change to the already approved.
That's absolutely correct. They would stay under 15,000. They would basically be coming back to y'all for master site plan review only.
Okay.
But unfortunately, this has to go to council to change a document that they approved.
Understand. Any questions, Mr. Durbin? Any questions?
Yeah, I do. Kind of like your explanations there, in accordance with our comprehensive plan and what's been approved by City Council for our left and right limits, is it in our purview to be able to ask, you know how like Chick-fil-A does a vehicle queue analysis? One somebody brought up from just a second ago for drop-offs, especially to ensure in that parking lot, since we do have the opportunity to relook this, to ensure that we won't have vehicles backing up. Is it possible, within our purview, are we legally allowed to say, we conditionally approve this pending a drop-off traffic analysis? Or is that outside of what we're allowed to do and not do by City Council?
We have nothing that I'm aware of that requires them to do a traffic study on a road that we do not own.
Okay.
That's something that's required by them, by the owner of that road. We do have zoning regulations regarding stacking and queuing when it comes to entrances into a parking lot. I think they looked at that extensively when it is Chick-fil-A. They know they want to look at their site plan and how much they have for stacking. They do look at their plan as well when they present that to SCDOT, but like I said, we have our own standards. I'm pretty sure SCDOT is a lot more strict than ours. A good example is a site triangle. We have a very small site triangle. A lot of the roads we own are very small. SCDOT has a lot larger because their roads are a lot bigger. So their regulations are more strict than ours.
So even if we apply our regulations, SCDOT is going to apply, take it a step further based on that drop-offs and pickup times.
Were you, I thought you were really addressing the area in their parking area, though, more so than the street, aren't you?
One of the same, sir.
Yeah.
One of the same.
But I would inject that the location would have a whole lot to do with, so for example, the Five Forks queue may be entirely different from the Woodard Road queue or this one here, too. So while it might be somewhat effective, I just don't know how accurate it'd be.
So part of the reason we designed it the way we did design it is with the excess parking is our traffic flows are actually the opposite of the pediatric traffic flow. There is more 9 to 3, which is almost the opposite of our rush, if you want to call it a rush. In addition, again, our parents have to come inside, so they have to park. They're not going to be in a line stretching out to the road. We designed it so that this parking between the two buildings and all across the front, both in, directly in front of the building and perpendicular to Harrison Woods Road, that's where our parents will park to come into our building. They won't be in a queue out in front of the building or even down the separate road, access road. Does that make sense?
Well, would you agree that one location would vary from another?
Most definitely, our Five Forks location is thankfully, it's got a lot of surface area outside of it, but it's a very difficult queue, even with the same process.
Thank you, sir.
John, I think my concern also that had been heard me as far as the sidewalks are concerned.
Okay, I'm sorry, didn't know you're done. The concept plan they presented in their statement of intent never described. Again, being an ID district, what they, like we're here tonight, what they put down in that document, they get held to. There are certain things that we can typically ask for in a site plan review that's pretty standard, but we can't go asking things that was not presented to council. So, unfortunately, I agree, some sidewalks are great to have, sidewalks to nowhere sometimes. What happens with that, if they do not connect to a larger network, they become the city's central responsibility.
It would be impossible to build them past that other side of the child care thing.
You run into a lot of issues. This road has some right-of-ways that go to the center of Harrison Bridge. So that's one of the reasons with SCDOT having problems widening some of these roads. They're so old. Having to do right-of-way acquisition that takes a long time to do. But with sidewalks, I do agree that's something we're pushing with the Merrydale interconnectivity. They've already had that in their site plan to connect people inside there to future connect them to Target. The only way you'd get somebody from Cottage of Harrison Bridge to Target would have to cross the road. And that would be a nightmare, that location. So if it was already part of the concept of statement of intent, they would line it down to the Merrydale future traffic light. That would have been an ideal situation, but the original design they had did not present any kind of sidewalks besides what's the internal one that's already there.
Thank you, sir.
Ken, just a real quick question to help me understand a little bit. When the county goes through with these housing development projects adjacent to Simpsonville, we have no real voice in that decision that it goes before the planning board. Is that correct?
We can attend meetings just like a regular citizen,
right,
and interact with their planning department and their school board, but we're just like a citizen.
Right, but we just suffer the impacts rather than that. We have a voice in it.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. At this time, then we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend an approval of the Statement of Intent for the Harrison Park Innovative Development, SP 2024-05.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion, comments from the council? Excuse me, from the commission.
I'd like to make a couple of remarks. First of all, we always appreciate public input. And you probably think sometimes we don't listen to you. Maybe we do and maybe we don't sometime, but I like to reiterate the situation, especially on Harrison Ridge Road, and it's this way from several parts of Simpsonville, but we butt up right to the county, and my friend here just mentioned it, but most of the traffic from Harrison Ridge Road is coming from Neely Farms, Remington, and those subdivisions there on Rocky Creek, and then the subdivision down on Harrison Ridge Road. They're not in the city of Simpsonville. Now, I won't deny that what we approve or don't approve has an impact on where you live and that traffic there, but most of the subdivisions that are brought before us for approval or annexations, I'd say maybe before the subdivisions, if we don't approve it, the county will still probably allow it and you're still going to get your traffic. So most of the time my thought runs toward, why not get it in the city, maybe get a little bit better subdivision build or supermarket or whatever we've approved, and have some regulation over what's going in there. And the city picks up a nickel or two, maybe hire another policeman to help with the traffic. But as far as the roads themselves, about 80% of the roads, it's not Simpsonville, we have no control over whatsoever.
We're at the mercy of the Green Book. If you don't believe there is a Green Book, call down there and ask them to do something. And they've explained to you that if it's not in the book, we don't get it. I'm not making excuses for anything I have done in the last 40 years on this council or this committee, or have not done on this committee. But that's some of the issues that we had to address. Not only on Harrison Green Road, but East Georgia Road, West Georgia Road, Fairview Road, Amel Road, and we've had issues one way or other. But again, we appreciate you. Y'all have enough concern to come out and let us hear what your views are. Sometime y'all win, sometime we win. Thank you.
Well said. I would second that. Thank you, sir.
Anyone else?
Okay. With that said, we'll put this to a vote. If so, all in favor of recommended approval of the statement of intent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? And it is unanimous. It carries. That does bring us to the final item on our agenda this evening. And Mr. Derby, tell us all about it, please.
Commissioner, this is a text amendment. From time to time, we do present to you some updates to the zoning ordinances, land development regulations, comp plan, things like that. When we see fit that some of the regulations that we're trying to enforce has an issue or needs to be adjusted or tweaked due to the changing in the economy, design, things like that. Tonight, this one is being brought to you by council members as to review and approve and amend section 735, 745, 755, subsection C. As it stands, when you sit up there on this panel, you review items that come before you, like tonight, rezonings, annexations, major changes, amendment, text amendments, those things that are reviewed by everyone here. Y'all have to make a recommendation to council. That goes as heard at their committee of the whole, as well as business meetings to be voted on. Currently, the way the ordinance reads, the requirement is that to overturn a decision made by a planning commission, it must be 5 votes from council. What they're asking is that to be changed to only a supermajority of council. So I'd like everyone to just kind of get your thoughts on this and discuss this amongst yourself of what this change would do to how you see planning commission and how you see decisions being made by council. Again, the current standard right now for things being recommended as an approval to council, for that to be overturned to a denial, it must be 5 votes, and vice versa. A denial to be overturned to an approval must be 5 votes. So tonight, what they're asking you to do to review to see if you see fit to be changed is that rule from 5 to just a supermajority of council.
Okay, very good. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'll go ahead and ask any ex parte communication report discussion.
I wrote this, so
yeah. And mainly when we talk about ex parte, the commission members supposed to entertain all this information at the same time together, so if someone had those conversations, we just like to all be party to it. So that having been said, anybody have any questions for Mr. Derby? Or let me back up. Is there anyone from the public here to discuss this?
And I'll introduce myself for the notes later. Harrison Musselwhite, 119 Two Gate Lane, Simpsonville, South Carolina. First of all, now we did have a few others here tonight, but they had to leave to prior commitments. How many tonight are here to support Chandler Rear's ordinance? Raise your hands. All right, now yes, I'll go over the ordinance. We are here to support Chad O'Rear's ordinance to allow a simple majority of city council to override, and this is the big word, folks, the recommendations of the planning commission. The planning commission does not set law. It gives its recommendations. We live, and I think all of you agree with me, we live in a representative republic. And what that means is we, the people of Simpsonville, elect our city council members to do several things: to represent us in government, to appoint you to do the work of the city, but also to hold you accountable to who? To we, the people. Remember what President Abraham Lincoln said: we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So tonight, and also one last, I spoke to Lou Hutchings today before I came, and Lou says that he hears constantly from bureaucrats in Simpsonville government, growth, growth, growth. Well, I agree with what Lou Hutchings said, and y'all can ask him. He said, unlimited growth and unsustained growth, and that is what we have in Simpsonville right now, it is not supported by infrastructure, is a cancer to Simpsonville. It's a cancer to what we have all built Simpsonville to be, which is a great place to live. It is. We live in the best city to be in South Carolina. But it's getting to the point with uncontrolled growth, unsustained growth, not sustained by infrastructure, that it could be becoming a less desired place to live and a more dangerous place to live. So, gentlemen, because we do live in a representative republic, I am asking you to vote with we, the people of Simpsonville, tonight and make it a simple majority to pass the Planning Commission's recommendations on City Council. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Good evening.
Here at Malden, 310 West College Street. I'm also the president of Simpsonville 1 Precinct. So I represent a few people. I would echo Mr. Harrison's comments to please support the event.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Long night, huh?
That's all right. That's what we're here for.
I escaped Chicago 4 years ago in horrible traffic.
Please, if you will, introduce yourself and give us your
phone. Oh, I'm sorry. Michael Bowden, 228 Scotts Bluff Drive. I'm not technically in the city, but I have a Simpsonville address and impacted by the decisions that you guys will make. We were glad to move here, but we're seeing a lot of the urban sprawl that we saw happen in Illinois. And so I just wanted to warn you all, if you don't, and I don't know what goes on in terms of impact fees here, I'm not real familiar with the laws and everything, but it seems like a lot of development gets done and then a lot of infrastructure doesn't get done. And we're feeling that right now back where we are in Cochran in East Georgia. Cochran Plantation, and all of a sudden I wake up one day and there's three or four new developments going up around me. And I'm thinking, we're in two lane roads. And I gotta tell you, I like two lane roads. And I'm being a little selfish here because I came from somewhere else. But it gives me pause because you all know all the troubles you have in Simpsonville between Fairview, Woodruff Road, Curtis. It's great to grow, but you gotta grow the right way because once you get that growth in, it gets even more expensive and more difficult to mitigate. So I just want you to think about all that. And also, I'm third vice chair for the GOP in Greenville County. And so I'm around a lot of people. And I will tell you that what Harrison says, a lot of people are very concerned about this growth right now. We're really relying on you guys to be our caretakers and to help protect this jewel called Simpsonville. And do know there's a lot of people supporting what we're trying to do here in terms of making it easier to get things done. And that's why I support Chad's move as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you again. Harry Fisher, 207 Eastern Court in Simpsonville, 29680. I want to make a point, and I think it was alluded to during a comment from the desk up there that, you know, we don't live in the city of Simpsonville, we're outside the city. But just a point of fact, I for one, with I'm sure a few of us others that aren't actually in the city limits, we spend quite a bit of our income in the city of Simpsonville. We partake, we frequent restaurants, we visit grocery stores, food stores, clothing stores, fitness centers. We spend a considerable amount of our income in the city. So we consider it our city. That should not be taken lightly. And to top it all off, we're big taxpayers in this city as well. And that should be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Folk, 18 Cloverfield Drive, the cottages. I'm going to get into trouble for asking this. You'll probably kick me out, but I'd just like to know how many people in this room were born in Simpsonville. How many have family that was born in Simpsonville? It goes back to 1700s for me. Few of us, so most of us are in court. But that's why it's such a great place. We've all come from somewhere else. But my other point that I'm getting out of is I would love to see on these traffic studies that they be made public. Either on the website or somehow, but I could lay my hands on these studies because I've never seen one. I've asked for them. And I can't see it from the Goddard School thing that's going to be done. I think the public needs to be able to see those traffic studies so they know exactly what they're talking about.
I can promise you one thing, if you get a hold of one, you'll cure your insomnia.
That's fine by me, I'd love to see it.
Mr. Folks, we appreciate hearing from you. We've heard from you a lot this evening. We do seriously appreciate that. We do need to ask that the comments be limited to the topic of discussion. Thank you, sir. We are talking about text document change in the ordinance. Yes, sir.
I'm Glenn Hurst. I'm at 104 Holland Trace Circle, Simpsonville. And I'm just here to encourage you to support this ordinance change. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any further comments from the public? Steve? And discussion? Questions from Mr. Kirby?
We have six council members and a mayor.
And what constitutes a quorum for a meeting?
Four members
so
of.
So you could essentially have three members want to return something, and the other four may not in favor of, but could still lose it.
Correct. And then you have a situation like tonight with Chairperson Gillespie having to recuse himself. That does not break quorum. So now you would have three people making a decision on an item, and a majority of that would be two.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to. I've been around. I have right to first ordinance back in 1973, and this simple majority between the council and commission has worked very well. I probably could count on one set of four fingers the times that the council did not vote unanimous in support of our recommendation, our vote unanimous in support of turning down our recommendation. So I don't know, and I know Mr. O'Rear around on this idea of reforming us, and maybe we do need reforming in some ways. I'm going to reform it at the end of the year, but not being on the council anymore. That'd be a great reformation, I'm sure. But
point that we do this, many years, and the fact that we don't have the mentality to make a good recommendation. A little bit offends me in some ways. I don't know what Mr. O'Rear's other ideas were, but he spoke strongly against us at the council's forum 2 months ago. Felt like he was misinformed on some items, but that's another point. But I would never support changing this from a simple majority to a regular majority of our recommendations.
I have a question for Mr. Garvey. Would you say that the comprehensive plan and the definitions of zoning for like innovative development are some of our guiding principles for the Planning Commission?
That's correct.
And who approves those?
The council makes the ultimate decision, followed by your recommendation for Planning Commission.
So the final authority for our guiding principles is approved or disapproved by the City Council, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and how many votes does that take?
To overturn.
To approve and to overturn.
It takes a majority to pass it. Mm-hmm. To overturn a decision, it takes 5.
So this is a duplicative effort. They approve and disapprove how we make decisions for our community in the best interest of our community, and they approved it with a 5-7 vote, and now they are, so this is just to clarify, I'm not providing an opinion, but to clarify, they're now requesting to approve or disapprove, but then also to overturn decisions we make based on the criteria they provide us to make them. I apologize for expressing myself strongly. I just retired last year after 31 years in the Army as a colonel, and I just don't understand this. And I'm frustrated beyond belief that you guys are even here and you're expressing yourselves. And I feel badly, and I want to do anything I can to help y'all. But where you're working within the regulations and rules provided by the same council member, I don't know, I'm not involved in politics, I stay away from the politics, I am an independent person, and this may affect whether I get nominated again, but I am nonpartisan, but I'm just frustrated. The same person that approves what we do wants to overturn what we do based on other criteria. So I wholeheartedly, Ed said it better, more eloquently than I have, but he's been doing this since 1974, the year I was born. So he said it way better. We are here for you all. We don't get paid. We are here for you all. And now we're getting conflicting guidance. And again, for the right reason. So I apologize to you all as a Planning Commission member representing you that I feel like I'm not representing you, but I'm following the guidebook that was provided to me by the City Council. That's all I have.
At this point, I would entertain a motion.
Can I just ask for a minute, please?
Sure.
They want, as opposed to the 5 to override, they just want a simple majority of those in attendance at the meeting?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Were they 4-vote requirement be an acceptable alternative?
Those have to be as a quorum.
Correct. Mr. Brazier is correct. That'd be rewritten.
And we'd have to recommend that. Once we have a motion, we can discuss further. So I'm just going to offer again to entertain a motion.
I'm going to break protocol and do a negative motion. I recommend that we reject the order proposed ordinance.
I second.
So we do have a motion from Mr. Brazier. And
just for clarification, that is a denial. Correct.
Yeah. I don't have very good English.
So in the discussion, we have a conversation after we have a motion on the floor, and I would just like to reiterate some of what was just said by both parties here. And
it does seem to me a bit of change for change's sake. Maybe that's somewhat of a lack of clarity on exactly what's motivating this. But I do share the comments that were said. I agree with them. And that would definitely influence how I vote here. Anything further from any of the other commissioners?
I would just say that, I agree with many of the citizens that spoke about how we have elected leaders and elected leaders need to be held accountable and all that. But I agree that the fact that three members could be here and a simple majority could be two people strikes me as a little bit odd.
Very good. Anything further? All right. Okay, then we will entertain a vote. All in favor of recommending denial of the text document change to the zoning ordinance, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? It's unanimous. That is the final item on our agenda this evening.
Chairman, I move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Second.